3CR, your station, your voice.
Thanks for choosing a 3CR podcast. Throughout June, we're running our annual Radiothon, where we ask you, the listener, to make a donation so that we can continue to make great radio. Your donation will help keep us community-owned and community-controlled. Go to 3cr.org.au/donate, and with that done, please enjoy the podcast.
Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view. The people who work in the prison system would have another. And I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4pm on your community radio 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to Radiothon and to a very special edition of the Doin' Time show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on the dial, streaming live on www.org.au. And a warning that this episode contains audio images of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died and graphic discussion of deaths in custody. This is Marissa, and I'll be with you for the next hour. The Doin' Time show reflects lived experience, First Nations content and marginalised community. And this June, we really need your support. Your donation ensures that we remain free of government and corporate influence and a true voice for the community. Our 2025 Radiothon theme is Your Station, Your Voice. And we need to raise $275,000. Now, I don't mean $275,000 for the Doin' Time show. Absolutely not. Don't get that idea. But we need to raise $1,000. Now, $1,000 is better than $275,000, isn't it? Numbers are not my strong point, but I will do my very best to add up properly on this show. But anyway, first up, we're going to be speaking with Joseph Bugliese, who is a much-loved friend and guest of the Doin' Time show. And Joseph comes on every year to pay tribute to the passing of Uncle Ray Jackson, who is just a wonderful activist and has done some really amazing work. And so we'll be speaking with him. He was also a friend of mine as well. So we'll speak with Joseph first, and throughout the show we'll be showcasing our work of what's happened over the last 12 months, and I hope to do that with Joseph as well, specifically in regards to Ray and also deaths in custody as well. And I'll be also playing some grabs as well during the show as well of people and guests over the last 12 months and looking at real life issues. Not just First Nations content, but also asylum seekers and refugees, women in prison, youth bail laws, and much more. So stick around, pick up the phone, dial 9419 8377 and donate to the Doin' Time show. Hello, Joseph, welcome.
Hi, Marissa. Lovely to hear from you again.
You too. It's been a crazy week.
It has indeed.
Oh my goodness. So I was just saying to listeners, Joseph, that you and I have always paid tribute to Ray Jackson every year for, you know, since the time that he died.
Yes.
Could you just give listeners a little bit of a rundown of who Ray is and just talk about maybe why listeners do need to donate?
Sure. Well, look, Uncle Ray Jackson is one of the pivotal figures in the history of social justice activism in this country. Sad to say, he passed away in 2015, and we miss him sorely every day, I have to say. especially in light of the dire events that are unfolding here locally and at the international level. But just to give listeners a background, if they haven't come across the work of Uncle Ray Jackson, he's been a social justice warrior for decades. He was a social justice warrior for decades. From the 1980s onwards, he basically focused exclusively on the ongoing tragedy of Indigenous deaths in custody in this country, which already had begun to escalate by the 1980s with the growth of the prison industrial complex. And he was one of the pivotal figures behind the move to have the Royal Commission into Indigenous deaths in custody, with the subsequent 330 recommendations to actually be implemented by Australia's prison system. But of course, what we know is that even though the recommendations were handed down, they weren't implemented. They largely weren't implemented. And ongoing Indigenous deaths in custody have continued to result precisely because of that failure. When Uncle Ray saw that the recommendations had been failed to be implemented, he actually decided to get his hands dirty, if you like, and start up an organisation, the Indigenous Social Justice Association, which focused exclusively on Indigenous deaths in custody, and he began to tabulate documentary evidence of the failures of the system and the way in which the police, prison guards, etc., were actually implicated in the murders of Indigenous people in the jails or in custodial cells or in prison vans. And so during his time where he was president of the Indigenous Social Justice Association, Uncle Ray worked across so many platforms, one as a support for families who had lost loved ones through Indigenous deaths in custody, two, giving these families public platforms from which to vent their anger, their rage and their loss, calling for justice. And as you know, Marissa, he was pivotal in organising rallies and marches in order to put this issue on the public agenda. And he was also instrumental in changing, and a lot of people don't know this, New South Wales coronial law, whereby he argued that when there was a coronial autopsy subsequent to an Indigenous deaths in custody, he argued that there should be at least a representative of the family in order to ensure that cultural protocol was observed in the examination and autopsy of the body. And often, because families were too distraught to go there in person at the coronial morgue, he would take their place. And he safeguarded, if you like, that the body of the loved one was treated with respect and care in their last moments. So you can see that he just covered so many key bases.
He really did. I haven't even
begun to talk about his extraordinary work in the arena of refugees and asylum seekers, where he went to a lot of the refugee prisons, like Willowwood Detention Centre here in Sydney, and would offer them welcome to country and give them Aboriginal passports.
That was a beautiful thing with the Aboriginal passports indeed. And the reason why I invited you on really is because Ray Jackson really represents, along with a lot of other Aboriginal elders as well, but Ray Jackson in particular represents a lot of the work that the Do and Time show does, because it always goes back to colonisation. Even when I'm talking about women in prison, for example, or looking at youth bail laws, it always goes back to colonisation, genocide and stolen generation.
Absolutely. Thank you for putting that front and centre, because that's something that Uncle Ray deeply believed in. And that's why he viewed the Aboriginal passports as so important, because for him, they were a declaration of unceded Indigenous sovereignty in this country and unceded sovereignty of all the 500-odd nation, Indigenous nations, First Nations that make up this country. And he saw the prison system, if you know, go over his writings and his speeches at rallies, etc., his weekly newsletter, he saw the prison system as just another way in which the settler state was continuing to eliminate Indigenous people from their country, break up their culture, break up their families, break up cultural continuity, destroy language, all of that. So he saw the prison industrial complex as working hand in hand with the larger aim of the settler state to basically eliminate the indigenous unceded sovereignties from this nation.
And why do you think that listeners need to donate to the Doin Time show specifically?
More than ever, we need an independent voice that's speaking truth to power. I'm sure your listeners often feel like this, but when I look at the commercial television, and to be honest, when I look at the ABC, I feel that we aren't getting the truth, that we aren't getting the news that we need. The news that speaks in an unfettered, uncensored way. I mean, the ABC is supposed to be the national voice, and what I see is censorship at every turn, a failure to call to account the people who are in power and yet are perpetrating crimes. And, you know, for me, the most glaring example is what is happening in Gaza. And the sanitised visions that we get in places like the ABC. Doin Time actually digs down, tells the truth, and speaks to voices that are outside of the monopoly of the media, the mainstream media. And I think it's so important because it's giving representation to people who would otherwise be silenced, censored or marginalised.
Absolutely. Pick up the phone, listeners, and dig deep. Even if it's just a $2 donation, you can get that back on tax as well. 94198377. Or come in and pay your pledge then, or go online. And for people,
let me urge your listeners more than ever to do this. I mean, most of your listeners, I'm sure, like myself, will be looking at the growing authoritarianism that's unfolding in the US and the way in which fake news is really playing into the hands of megalomaniacs like Trump, who are basically conducting these just atrocious vendettas against immigrants, asylum seekers, refugees in that country, and really turning that place into a militarised state.
Yep, it's
with,
disgusting.
With the Marines and the National Guard on the ground. And I think, speaking to your radio station, 3CR, what we need more than ever is an independent voice that speaks back to that authoritarianism, speaks back to that fake news, and which again speaks to the truth of what's actually happening in our world.
Joseph, thank you so much. You have been absolutely sensational as usual, and sending you big hugs through the airwaves.
Thank you so much, Marissa. All power to you, and please do contribute to 3CR. I will be, because I really believe in this radio station. It's so important. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Joseph. Much love.
Bye, Marissa.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Joseph Bugliese, a long-time friend and guest of the Doin Time show, and also one of Ray Jackson's oldest friends. And Ray Jackson is a First Nations activist who was very much loved. We're going to be speaking later on too with Cheryl from Istja in Melbourne as well, and she is also a much loved friend and supporter, not just of 3CR and the Doin Time show, but to me personally. And so I'll be speaking with her at 4:30. I'll be reading out some donations presently, but we're just going to bring you an announcement for now.
3CR Radiothon 2025. Your station, your voice.
Do a bit of disrupting and cause a bit of ruckus in the colony.
Always was! Always will be!
Not celebrate Australia, but instead pay homage to the resistance of First Nations people against this illegal colonial occupation.
3CR, your station, your voice.
This country's black future is afire. With the right season, that burning school fire.
And in case you've just tuned in, this is the Doin Time show, and it's Radiothon. And this is the Doin Time show special edition to raise $1,000 for Doin Time. Donate to all shows at 3CR. Please call the station and donate. Pick up the phone, 94198377, or drop into the station, 21 Smith Street, Collingwood, or Fitzroy, sorry, and or you can donate online. So I'm going to be reading out some donations now to thank people. There have been some fantastic donations, but we do have to raise $1,000. So the first one that I would really like to thank is Juliet Fox, $50. Thanks, Juliet. Brett Collins, wow, okay. Brett Collins, $51.75. And wanted to thank Brett Collins. Brett Collins is from Justice Action, and he's been a well-known guest on our show for many years. And I'm sure there'll be some people that I don't know that'll be donating, and that's really wonderful as well. And, okay, so the next one is $30 from ISJA, Indigenous Social Justice Association, Melbourne. And, yeah, thank you very much to ISJA. David Glantz, who is he's donated $67. And David is from the Refugee Action Collective. Romina, thank you so much, Romina, for your donation. And that's $20. Really appreciate that. And Karina, $10. Thank you very, very much, Karina. I very much loved Current Affairs Coordinator. Andy is $25. Thanks, Andy. Nita, $30. And Marion, $100. Thank you very much. Stephanie, $50. Josephine Langbini from the Human Rights Law Centre, I believe. Thank you, Josephine. Josephine has actually done lots of interviews with us. And in fact, we've been promoting the Human Rights Law Centre week in, week out, mate. So thank you so much, Josephine. It's really, really lovely and absolutely commendable that you have donated. Thank you very much. $51. Susan, $50. Thanks, Susan. Pillar, $50. Robert, $100. Thanks, Rob. And Claus and Cheryl, $60. Yeah, so thank you so much for all your donations. It's been, I don't know, I'll be glad when Radiothon's over, to be honest. Fundraising is not my strong point, but doing Chime Show is. And I suppose it is, I suppose for me, the reason why I really think that people need to donate is because the Doing Time Show reflects marginalised communities. And I think the highlight of the year for me has been the fact that I've been able to get out there and do some off-site recordings and doing recordings around, you know, anti-racist rallies and other things. And also it's been amazing as well working with all the breakfast shows over the last 12 months and the way that we all work in solidarity with each other and share audio, in particular with Monday Breakfast and also a little bit of Thursday Breakfast as well. So it's been really lovely, and I really think that 3CR is unique because of that, because we don't have that greed and competition, like everybody works together.
3CR Radiothon 2025, your station, your voice.
Aloha, Wumanjaka, and hello.
Buenos dias.
3CR 855 AM.
Welcome to 3CR Community Radio, dear listeners.
Community Radio at 3CR in Melbourne.
3CR Community Radio.
3CR Radio.
3CR is community owned and operated.
3CR.
3CR.
Donate to the 3CR Radiothon fundraiser this June.
To donate, call 0394198377 or go online at 3cr.org.au.
It's your station, your voice.
And you're back with the Doin' Time Show, and it's approximately 4:19, and another donation has just come in from Joseph Bugliese, and he has donated $98. Thank you so much, Joseph. It's really wonderful that you have made that donation, and you did a really, really wonderful interview with me this afternoon. Thanks a lot. The next little snippet that I'm gonna organise for listeners in terms of showcasing our work over the last 12 months is I'm going to bring you a little snippet from an interview that I did last year in December, and it's from a really beautiful activist, Tabitha Lean. And Tabitha has lived experience of prison, and I think it's really important that I actually want to play this little grab, and you'll be able to hear that she talks a lot about prison conditions, particularly in the Northern Territory. So I'll be doing that very shortly. And in the meantime, while you're listening to that grab, that snippet, go and make yourselves a cup of tea and get your wallet. Okay, I'll be back soon.
Now, your listeners might remember that in December last year, so the laws we're talking about are laws that the Queensland government passed last week. These are laws that will send children to prison for much, much longer, so they'll have impacts for children, their families, the community and society as a whole.
So I'm a First Nations woman, but I'm living and working on
technical
Ghana country.
Difficulties. Sorry about
moved
that.
Back
here's the real
Ghana
thing.
Country from Bowendick. So I'll start off by acknowledging the elders here and thank them for their custodianship of country, and acknowledge them as rightful owner of these lands and waters.
Fantastic. Now, where the formerly, it was a bit of a mouthful, and I was trying to.
Yes.
Can you just state that again, and just tell listeners where you're from?
Yeah, so look, I'm a formerly incarcerated woman myself, having spent 2 years in prison in the Adelaide Women's Prison and about 3 years on home detention. And I'm an organising member of what we call the National Network of Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. And you're right, Marissa, it's a huge mouthful, so we tend to just shorten it to the National Network. However, if you want to find us online, you need to look up the whole name.
Absolutely. And you've done quite a lot of stuff at uni and, you know, a lot of projects.
Yeah, we're busy and we're sort of into everything. And because we're a national network, we're operating right across the country with membership in every state and territory, with members both inside the prison and in the community. So what we do is we advocate for people inside and outside, and part of our role is sort of advocating with governments on policies that are affecting incarcerated and criminalised women and girls.
Fantastic. So tell us this latest saga. What's happening with all this overcrowding in Darwin and all the heat? How is that impacting on women in prison?
Yeah, look, the National Network started sounding the alarms as soon as the Country Liberal Party announced their election policies, that they would include building new prisons and expanding prison beds, reducing the age of criminal responsibility for children and bringing back the use of spit hoods. But the Country Liberal Party was still elected to government. And then what we saw on the 31st of October was 36 women forcibly transferred from the Alice Springs prison to the Darwin Correctional Centre with absolutely no notice. So what we saw was those 36 women now being kept in what's called Sector 4 at Darwin Correctional Centre in what can only be described as appalling conditions. And the reports that we're getting out of there are extremely concerning. So we've got reports of severe overcrowding. The prison there was originally designed to accommodate 80 people and is now caging over 100. We have confirmed with Corrections last week that women are sleeping on mattresses on the floor. When Corrections were asked about women sleeping on mattresses on the floor, the Northern Territory Corrections Commissioner Matthew Varley unapologetically remarked that he was not going to make apologies for the fact that there are prisoners on mattresses on the floor. And I guess that callous response underscores the indifference of a system that prioritises punishment over human dignity. But as you raised, Marissa, there's also extremely high temperatures in Darwin, exceeding 30 degrees. And we've had reports of non-functioning air conditioners. Often the women are asked to be outside during the day, and there is little to no shade in Sector 4. So we have partnered with the organisation Sweltering Cities, and we're running an online petition campaigning the government to take immediate action to ensure that the Darwin Correctional Centre meets at least basic health standards in terms of functional cooling and safe living conditions. And the other issue, of course, that the women are facing, there is severe disconnection from their families and country. I mean, they've been moved 1,500 kilometres from their communities, which obviously is also in direct violation of the foundational recommendations of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. But they are not able to have visits with their children or families because of the extraordinary distance. So the travel and distance is expensive, logistically difficult. People's access to technology is scarce, so online visiting is problematic. And this physical and emotional isolation of women from their families is basically devastating to their well-being.
And you just heard a little snippet from an interview that I did in December last year with Tabitha Lean, who is just truly inspirational. Her work is inspirational, and it she speaks from the perspective of the lived experience of prison. Now, I believe another donation has come through, and I didn't hear it very well. I believe it's Rosie from Canterbury, $50. Thank you, Rosie. Much appreciated. It's really lovely. Now, I am going to be speaking with Cheryl pretty soon from ISTJA, and her interview, or she's going to be coming on at 4:30, but I want to play this this snippet of an interview with Kieran Stewart Ashton and Uncle Coco. And Kieran is from the Black People's Union, and Uncle Coco is just a wonderful human being as well, and an activist. And it's going to be about the day's protests against the visit of King Charles. And my the podcast title is called Unwelcome the King, if you want to have a look at that at some stage. So we should be ready by 4:30, but this is only about 4 minutes. So stay tuned.
I've been very fortunate that people invite me to come around and talk at their gatherings and communities and talk about freedom and what it means to be free and liberation and restitution. And the big part of that comes from sovereignty. But the amount of allies that we have now and the understanding and the debate is an achievement on a lot of the young people like Kieran and my daughters and other families and other daughters and sons of past activists. I just had the pleasure of having lunch with Kevin Gilbert's granddaughters, and he's a legend. So it's a new direction. And we're starting to share and support one another through the laydown of the resistance, and it was a pleasure to be in Nam a couple of weeks ago for the arms disarmament, and see people like Lizzie and other people and stand with the Palestinian families in Melbourne, and we the allyship is something we need, and we need to share and work together to get rid of the imperialism that infestation the world. And I think the world's responding properly to that infestation of the pox that is imperialism and capitalism.
I love the way infestation, that's a good word. But look, the reason why I invited you and Kieran to come onto the show is because I could just listen all day to what's going on. It's really important to have elders and to have people's, the stories of First Nations people and lived experience on the show. And our show is really about not just people in prison, but also looking at marginalised communities and also looking at the Free Palestine rallies as well. Kieran, can you tell us a little bit about what's happening and about the Monarch and how the Monarch is destructive to First Nations people and give us a little bit of background about what's happening there?
So earlier today, Charles was down at the War Memorial doing a tour or whatever. So we were down there earlier today at the front protesting, trying to disrupt it as best as we could. Didn't have the biggest numbers, but there was a lot of energy down there, and the people that did show up were, you know, really staunch, really solid. Managed to make a fair bit of noise. There was a hell of a lot of police repression down there, though. Probably like easy four times as many coppers as there was us. And, you know, they had a bunch of, like, snipers as well, military gear set up on the roofs as well down at the War Memorial. But at the end of the day, you know, we're protesting the king because it is the royal family that gives Australia its so-called legitimacy and its so-called sovereignty, the Australian government, I mean, over our land here. So, you know, at the end of the day, King Charles is the sovereign figurehead of our occupation. That's why we need to protest him. That's why it's so important. And at the end of the day as well, King Charles has the power and has the ability to be able to do stuff like enter into treaties with us. So, you know, yes, there is a lot of different ways that we could push for stuff like treaties, but we could actually have a proper international treaty, if that's what we wanted to do, by entering into agreements with people like Charles. So, you know, we're down there trying to get his attention and trying to, organise some sort of acknowledgement of the fact that this is still occupied land and that there's unfinished business here that has to be reconciled with.
And you're back with the Do and Time show, and it's approximately 4:30. And we're going to be speaking now with Cheryl from ISTJA, 4:31, I should say. Hello, Cheryl, welcome.
Hi, Marissa, how's it going in there?
You know, Cheryl, I always really enjoy doing the Radiothon show, but this year, for some reason, I'm actually finding it really hard going, and I've actually been close to tears actually throughout this show, and I think it's because all this stuff's been happening in America with the Mexican people and Palestine. And then, you know, I spoke to Joseph about Ray. You probably heard that. And a lot of Aboriginal elders are dying. And it's like, it's really incredible. It's overwhelming. And I am just so relieved that 3CR is here.
What will we do without, honestly? And you know, slogan, I guess, for this year, Your Station, Your Voice, it's exactly right. Because where else are we going to hear these stories? We don't. It's either given a cursory, you know, comment in the news, if you're lucky enough, and then it's all faded away. I mean, there's been 3 Aboriginal deaths in custody within 2 weeks. Well, a couple of weeks ago it was. 2 in the Northern Territory and 1 in Victoria. And, you know, scarcely a bleep out of any of the, you know, news services. That's, you know, a little bit of coverage. Uncle Ned got a little bit of coverage.
Yeah.
And rightly so. I mean, the community still waiting for the result, you know, the findings, I think, on Kumanjai. Hang on, let me go back.
Kumanjai White?
No, not even that one. You know, the one,
Walker. That's
Walker.
It.
Yeah.
Too
and
many.
Meanwhile, want to know something shocking? That Zach Rolfe is doing speaking tours.
What?
Yeah. And I would presume they're not free speaking tours. So much for the idea you can't make money out of crime.
That is absolutely. And just for listeners' benefit, who's Zachary Rolfe?
Zachary Rolfe was the police officer. I think he was, he appeared. Was he charged? I'm not quite sure even if he was.
He was acquitted.
That's it. Yeah, with all this rubbish that went on. That's right. You'll get so many. It's just,
It's really, I think for me, and I mean, you heard the little bit of interview that I played with Karen and Uncle Coco. Karen's actually got a great show at 3CR too.
Yep.
So please donate to that.
Yep. That's on Wednesday. Yep.
That's it. So, Cheryl, why do you think that people need to be donating to the Do and Time show?
Oh, to keep this station alive and kicking and doing all the great work it's doing. I mean, there's, you know, it can't see the need for something like 3CR to ever disappear, not with the you know, what we're seeing around us now. You know, we've got Palestine remembered. We've got, you know, alternative voices all the way through, really. You know, you sort of, the Anarchist World This Week, you know, Joseph, he covers a lot of issues too, and Radical Australia, he has people on the country. We've got the Radioactive Show, Romina, when she does the alternative news show on Sunday. I mean, and then, of course, you've got your, you know, Robbie does Black Block today.
Yep.
What have we got? You doing Noon Time. We've got Gav doing Billabong Beach tomorrow. Oh, and Voices of West Papua. That's on Tuesday evening.
Yep.
Yeah. Brecky Show.
The Celtic Show.
Yep. Yep. The Yep. And Black and Deadly. And Music Matters. You know, that's another one. It's a bit of light relief. You need some light relief every now and again. And Joe, you know, Malignaggi does great programs. That's on Friday, memory. Yep. So, but where else? I mean, you do that commemoration for Uncle Ray, but you also do one for TJ, I think, every year in February.
I do.
And that's how Easter Melbourne came to be. We were, Uncle Ray put out a call as to for groups or people to come together as part of a National Day of Action back in 2005 or the end of 2004, but to happen in January 2005 or February 2005, actually it was when it kicked off, on the first anniversary of TJ's death in custody when he was pursued by Redfern police and impaled. Sorry for, you know, any distress I caused, but he was impaled on a metal picket fence after being catapulted off his bike in Redfern, 17-year-old Kamilaroi boy. And to this day, even though we demanded, there's been multiple demands for a first inquiry, but to this day, 21 years later, that's 20, what is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
24 years later, I think. Yeah, it hasn't happened. No, 21. God, my head's all over the shop today.
That's okay. I've just really enjoyed having you. And remember on Invasion Day, Cheryl, when we went to the to the rally and we did a little interview there and aired it on 3CR with you and I.
Yeah.
And Rob?
Opposite Parliament, yes, with Rob. And yeah, it was good. And, you know, you do an exemplary job for everyone at 3CR, all the volunteers. NAIDOC Week comes up, and I guess you would have heard the Beyond the Bars broadcast at different times.
Yep.
They have every year where the broadcasters and I think some volunteers even go into the prisons around Victoria and do interviews or, spend time with First Nations inmates, and that's mind-blowing because, you know, the kind of talent that's stuck away behind bars, these people, you know, they can teach mainstream a lot of
things, exactly. And we can't forget Sam Watson, Uncle Sam Watson from Queensland.
Yep, he was another one, wasn't he? A real trooper. I mean, he was there. But a bit like Coco. Uncle Coco and Robbie, for that matter.
That's right, Cheryl. So, thank you so much for coming onto the show. Have you got any final comments you wanted to make?
Definitely, I'm going to urge people to please dig deep. If you can put in a couple of dollars towards 3CR, the $275,000 that Marissa doesn't have to personally raise, but overall programs, you know, if everyone puts in a few dollars if they can, that's really, you know, They'll get there. They need to get there. They've
got
to get there.
I was just saying that $1,000 is better than $275,000.
Yes, that sounds doable.
Yeah. I'm sure 3CR will raise it. Thanks so much, Cheryl.
That's okay.
Say hello to Claus for me and thanks for your donation.
That's okay. Keep up the good work, everyone.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. And that was Cheryl from ISJAR. And before that, you heard an interview with Uncle Coco and Kieran, First Nations activists, speaking about the King's visit and the protests that were happening around Australia. And, well, so-called Australia, I should say. So we're not at the end yet, but we're nearly there. It's 4:39 and just wanted to encourage listeners to call 9419 8377 and donate to the Doin' Time Show. I'll play you a little interview now with Josephine Lambini from the Human Rights Law Centre, and she is going to be speaking about quite a few things in regards to asylum seekers and refugees. But before I do that, I just wanted to also highlight to listeners that one of the things that the Do and Time Show has done over the last 12 months is looking at specifically at massacres, just to give a content warning there, that it could be distressing to some listeners. So massacres, remembering Mile Creek, that's something that I do annually as well, and massacres and frontier war stories. And we will often have Bo Spearham, who is from Queensland, Aboriginal warrior, speaking about that. Here's the little snippet from Josephine.
Now, your listeners might remember that in December last year, in the final sitting weeks of Parliament, the Albanese government and the coalition teamed up to pass some brutal new migration laws. That those laws did a lot of things, but one of the features of them was that they gave the government the power to deport any person without a visa to a third country, regardless of their background or their family ties to Australia. So then a few weeks ago, we heard that Nauru is now the first country that has agreed to receive people being deported by Australia in exchange for payment. We're seeing the Australian government setting up paid arrangements with Nauru to accept people that the government is trying to deport from Australia. Now, the Albanese government is now trying to test out these brutal new laws on three people, and one of those people is our client, and so we've taken some legal action on his behalf, because no one should be permanently exiled to a country that is not their home. You know, ripping people from their lives and banishing them offshore to a place where they have no connection is a really cruel and lifelong punishment. And the government is starting with these three people, but we don't want to see these deportations setting a really dangerous precedent for how migrants and refugees are treated here or around the world, because everybody should have the same rights, regardless of their visa status.
So this happened in 2024 last year, didn't it? An interesting point here of particular concern is that the Albanese government appears to have teamed up with the coalition, is that right, to pass these new laws?
That's right. The Albanese government and the coalition seem to be in a race to the bottom in terms of the amount of punishment and cruelty that they can direct towards migrants and refugees, and particularly towards people who have been recently released from indefinite immigration detention as a result of the High Court decision a couple of years ago. And so that's right, we saw these laws rush through Parliament with very little scrutiny at the end of last year, and despite a lot of community opposition and despite the crossbench trying to speak up against these laws, the two major parties did team up to force them through Parliament.
So the case commenced in the High Court of Australia. Just to put things in context, when was that? Because apparently it argues that the decision to cancel the man's protection visa was made unlawfully. Is that right?
That's right. So a couple of weeks ago, our client was told that he was due to be deported to Nauru. He was told that he would be deported within a week. But what we learned is that he had not actually finished his visa cancellation review process. So the original decision to cancel his permanent Australian visa, he hadn't had a chance to seek review of that. And there are some serious issues with how that decision was made and with the lawfulness of that decision. But he hadn't had a chance to seek review. So we filed court proceedings on his behalf just a few days before his scheduled deportation, seeking review of that decision to cancel his protection visa, because, you know, everybody should have a fair chance to have these really serious decisions that have huge impacts on their lives properly reviewed and scrutinised. So that case has been commenced, and just a few hours after we filed those proceedings in the High Court, the government agreed that they would not send our client to Nauru while his case is still on foot. And so he has been given a temporary reprieve, but the threat of deportation to Nauru has not disappeared. It's been delayed for him, and the threat obviously continues for so many other people who could potentially be affected by these laws.
And you just heard a small part of an interview with Josephine Lambini from the Human Rights Law Centre, and she was speaking about a deportation that happened. It's approximately... Oh, wow, my computer nearly froze there. It's approximately 4:45 and we're nearing the end of our show. I think we've got time for one more small part of an interview. And in the meantime, pick up the phone 94198377 and donate to the Do and Time show and donate to all shows at 3CR. And after this show, it won't be too late to donate. You can still donate. And remember to donate before the 30th of June if you want to get a tax receipt. So I'll play you a last segment. And before I do that, though, there is a donation that's just come through. And it's from Joe. And Joe has donated $10. Also, I wanted to... And thank you very much, Joe. Thank you very, very much indeed. Also, I wanted to... just say that over the last 12 months, we have also done quite a few interviews on disability justice and also transgender justice as well. And we've interviewed People with Disability Australia quite a few times about various topics. And here's the last segment before we finish our show.
Now, your listeners might remember that...
Sorry, I've just had a little bit of technical difficulty.
Your listeners might... So the laws we're talking about are laws that the Queensland government passed last week. These are laws that will send children to prison for much, much longer, so they'll have impacts for children, their families, the community and society as a whole. Combined with some laws that the Queensland government passed last year, not only are more children going to prison for longer, but more children will be going to prison as well. And what we're really concerned about is prison is no place for any child, but most of the children that these laws will impact will be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children, children with disabilities and children with complex health needs.
And so what has possessed the government to do such a thing, do you think?
Well, we know that the government is certainly not listening to the evidence or listening to human rights. So these laws are so bad that they're being looked at by the United Nations. We've had two independent human rights experts who advised the United Nations on human rights sound the alarm last week. So these experts are called the Special Rapporteur on Torture and the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And what they've said are the laws are incompatible with basic child rights. They urge the Queensland government to vote the laws down. And I guess what we're seeing in terms of why this might be happening is there's a broad pattern of discriminatory and punitive legislation across the country. You might have seen that in March, the Human Rights Law Centre supported a complaint to the United Nations, not just about youth justice in Queensland, but about the punitive approach across the whole country. So Queensland's approach is reflecting that, I suppose, but it is not having any regard to the rights of children or what actually should be done to address the reasons that children might be in contact with the criminal legal system in the first place.
So the laws are actually in place now, are they?
That's right. So the laws, they became law last week on Friday. And so what those laws did is they added a whole bunch of offences that children can already go to prison for, but the laws made adult-length long sentences for these offences. So the simple way of explaining that is a lot of the offences have had their maximum penalty be doubled. So many offences that had a 7-year maximum term of imprisonment are now 14 years. Offences that were 1.5 will now be 3, and there's a few offences that are now subject to maximum sentence of life in prison.
And I guess to really paint a picture of what that means is in Queensland, children as young as 10 can go to prison. Like I said, it's children who are the majority of which, based on how the criminal legal system currently works, will be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, children with disabilities, both diagnosed and undiagnosed, and children with a range of complex health needs. So really it's subjecting children to a really, really long time in a harmful environment that we know causes harm. We know it doesn't address the reasons for offending and will leave everyone worse off than if the kids get out.
So basically it's an expansion of the number of offences where children can be sentenced as adults, exposing them to longer and harsher prison terms, including life.
That's exactly right, and it's an expansion of laws that the government put in place last year. So in December last year, the Queensland government they passed legislation and made laws that did a whole bunch of things. Some of the really serious things were to remove the principle of detention as a last resort for children. And that's the principle that's well enshrined in international law. It recognises that children's brains work differently and prison is harmful for children, and there are other ways that you can address the reasons for offending. And it started this adult sentencing framework. So it introduced what the government is calling adult crime, adult time, for 13 offences. They made the sentences longer and harsher, like you just said, and what we saw last week was the number of offences has expanded. So we've gone from 13 offences where children are sentenced as adults to 33.
And you just heard a segment from an interview that I conducted actually this year sometime from the Human Rights Law Centre, Rajan, Associate Legal Director in the Human Rights Law Centre's First Nations Justice Team. And that was an interview on the Queensland Government's shameful adult sentencing laws and the ways the Queensland Government will harm kids, families and communities. It's approximately 4:51. Donate to strong independent media, grassroots media, and really important to stand in solidarity with 3CR financially as much as possible. It's 4:51 and I'm going to be going out pretty soon with our theme song Blackfella Whitefella by the Rumpy Band, but first I'll play a couple of announcements.
That our voices are being suppressed and repressed and those experiences are not being allowed to come into the mainstream. But as you said, we're resilient and we'll keep speaking up.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Did you know that each donation over $2 you make to 3CR's Radiothon is tax deductible? That means that when you're doing your tax return business, you can claim your 3CR donation as a legitimate tax deduction. To make a pledge to this year's Radiothon, call the station on 9419 8377 or donate online at 3cr.org.au/donate. Your station, your voice.
3CR Radiothon 2025. Your station, your voice.
Aloha, Wumenjeka, and hello.
Buenos dias.
3CR 855 AM.
Welcome to 3CR Community Radio, dear listeners.
Community Radio at 3CR in Melbourne.
3CR Community Radio.
3CR Radio.
3CR is community owned and operated.
3CR.
3CR.
Donate to the 3CR Radiothon fundraiser this June.
To donate, call 0394 19 8377 or go online at 3cr.org.au.
It's your station, your voice.
And we're just about coming to the end of our Radiothon show, Doing Time Show. And pick up the phone 9419 8377 and donate to the Doing Time Show. I'm going to be going out now with our theme song, Blackfella, Whitefella by the Rumpy Band, but I'll play an announcement first. And then you've got the Climate Action Show coming up next. Thank you so much, everybody, for donating. And it's really wonderful and much, much appreciated for 3CR to stay on air another year. Be kind to each other. Bye.
Throughout the month of June, we're asking you to support fierce, independent and community-controlled media by making a donation to our Radiothon.
3CR, sponsored by Rio Tinto.
Hell no, hell no.
3CR, sponsored by Elbit Systems.
Hell no, hell no.
3CR, sponsored by Woodside Energy.
Hell no.
3CR is listener supported.
It ain't enough to just give us an applause. It ain't enough to say you down with the cause. Real support will take more than talk. Together we gotta say
it's your station, your voice. To donate, call 0394198377 or go online at 3cr.org.au.
Your station, your voice.
Did you enjoy listening to that podcast? 3CR is a community radio station, and you, the listener, are a part of that community. Right now, it's our radiothon. We need you to pitch in with a few dollars to keep the station going. We can't do it without you. It's easy. Head to 3cr.org.au/donate. Your donations really matter.